All right, Sunday morning, 5:08:22. This is a teaching called Prayer Call. This will be the first in the series. And the title is Why Tongues. Even though Danny and I have been well taught in these areas, I don't know how much you've learned, and I don't know how much those that will be listening to this have learned. So we're going to start at the beginning, and today we're going to look at why tongues. Because really, speaking in tongues has everything to do with the prayer call. God has given us a heavenly language for Him to be able to pray through us His perfect will. So we need to know about it. I'll be using some references in Brother Hagin's book, Tongues Beyond the Upper Room. Some of it's what the Lord's given me as I've been reading His stuff. The Lord's given me insight, so anyway. Okay, for those of you that already know all this that we will look at today and beyond, this will be a good refresher course for you. If it's new to you, you'll learn something. If it's a refresher, you still may learn something. Okay, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Okay, but I have a greater understanding. Paul, in his epistles to the churches, stressed that he did not want us to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. All right. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant." All right, Strong's, the word spiritual means non-carnal, means supernatural. All right. Gift means a spiritual endowment. In other words, it's not your gift, it's something, it's a gift of the Holy Ghost. All right. We're not going to get into the gifts of the Spirit that's from that endowment, but in today, just speaking in tongues today. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it opens the doorway for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate in you. Here are a few simple facts about this experience. Speaking with other tongues is always manifested when one is baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, there'll be people that argue with you about that. I've had people argue with me about it. It is supernatural evidence of the Holy Spirit's infilling in a person's life, according to the Scripture. The spiritual gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues are distinctive of this dispensation in which we live. In other words, there were not tongues and not speaking in tongues and interpretation under the old covenant, just in the new. All right? I want to look at 1 Corinthians 2. Starting with verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught." See, that's what's happened with organized religion. The princes of this world are speaking, not God. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." So if we're going to know God and know His ways, it's going to come from within, not without. That's why you have denominations that don't believe in speaking in tongues and being filled with the Spirit, and they're just an organized religion. That's what cemeteries, for the most part, are. Seminaries. It's organized religion. It's teaching you a rote instead of being inspired by the Spirit. To me, if you're going to run a Bible school, the first thing would be, okay, let's get you born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the best school. That's, you know, don't cost you a thing. All right. Number four, the Apostle Paul gave prominence to this subject of tongues. In fact, in his first letter to the Corinthian church, he wrote quite a bit about it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in it. We're going to look at chapter 14 of Corinthians. It says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So when you're praying in the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. I've told the story before where, you know, when I was working, I was teaching the 10 and 12-year-old boys, and I was thinking, oh, I'm so weary. I just don't know if I can even go. My feet hurt, blah, blah, blah. I get over there and start praying with those little boys. Some of them got filled with the Spirit when I was teaching them one day. And I'm telling you what, I felt like I had an 8-hour nap. I mean, it's just a refreshing. Times of refreshing come by being in the presence of the Lord. It's like, I call it spiritual iron. You pump spiritual iron in the Spirit. So many people spend so much money and so much time developing the outside that's perishing. But the inward man, it'll become strong. It'll override that other stuff. It's like Amber, what the Lord showed her. Renew the mind, renew the man. Yeah. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy, he's talking about in the church, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking, let me get my marker here. If I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken, for ye shall speak it into the air? In other words, he's talking about don't come into an assembly and just rattle off tongues and stuff. Nobody knows what you're saying. This is your own communication between you and God. All right? Or if you have an interpretation, that makes it different too. That's the gift of speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit gift. All right? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken, for ye shall speak into the air? There are many, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Now this is when you're in the assembly. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Okay. Takes the weariness off of you. It's your spirit man praying. Not just a natural man, which runs out of maybe everything in 5 minutes. Probably less than that. For I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well. Ha! When you're praying in the Spirit, you give thanks well. but the others are not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul's not saying don't speak with tongues. I've had people use this on me. Well, Paul said, you know, we shouldn't do that. But they missed the other part of that. I speak with tongues more than all of you put together. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding than my voice. I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. See, they'll use that on you and say, see, that's of the devil. Anyway, we'll get into that in a minute. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. And the law is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? First time I ever went to First Assembly or Bethel Assembly of God, and there's a lady speaking in tongues behind me. I thought, Daddy and I weren't married yet. I thought, I'm never stepping my foot in the door of this place again. I wanted to run out of there. And if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. See, when we come together, God expects, especially if it's a believer's meeting type setting where the gifts of the Spirit are moving, it's to be a supernatural meeting. It's never been to come in and do our little thing. Our program with our 3 songs and... How is it then, brethren, when you come together? Every one of you hath a psalm. See, if they're praying in tongues at home, when they come to church, they're going to all be so full that they'll overflow. It's a supernatural meeting, not a dead one. Just a fleshly one. Psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. Any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by 2, or at the most by 3, that by course, and let one interpret. See, they had to regulate it. They had to bring some order to it, because everybody had something. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak 2 or 3, and let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. In other words, I'm not the hot dog here and I got this great gift. No, I'll step aside and let my brother speak. For you may all prophesy one by one. Really? It says it. All. That all may learn. That all may be comforted. It's a step of faith when you begin to step out in the gifts of the Spirit. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, it doesn't just take you over and you act like some maniac out there. No, you can stop at any time. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now I have to explain this. The women used to be in the balcony. And they used to holler down at their husbands during the service. And this is what they're talking about. Okay? It said, tell them to not be shouting down. They're disrupting the service. Now, let's put it in the right perspective. If women can be filled with the Spirit, they're to be speaking just like anybody else. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. See? When you get home, ask them what's going on. Instead of shouting down on us down here, wanting to, hey, Wilbur, what's going on down there? Say, shut up, woman, I'll tell you when I get home. you'd be surprised. Whole doctrines or old churches, denominations are built on this garbage that have suppressed women. Billy Brim was one of them. She's called to preach from a little girl. She talks about how what things she'd use for her sermon notes and this and that, and she had the kids, groups of kids. When she was, we're talking elementary school, they'd all be listening to her. She'd be preaching to them. She had the call on her whole life. And she didn't realize till she was editing Brother Hagin's book, The Woman Question, that it was a lie. She's raised Baptist, you know, I don't believe in women preachers. Yeah. Anyway, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Now, am I reading the right thing? I'm not. I'm on the wrong page. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Amber's going to get a kick out of that one. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues, that all things be done decently in order. Here you see the apostle here. This is a letter to the Corinthian church from the apostle Paul, laying down things, bringing order into the church. I'm sure it probably was maybe pretty chaotic, and so he had to set some directions down about how they were to act when they were in the assembly, so things would be decently and in order. Okay. Why did Paul give so much prominence to tongues? Because then as now, the subject was much misunderstood. There was a lady that I knew years ago. She's since passed away. And I was working in another ministry, and we had a weekly prayer deal. And everybody in the group was filled with the Holy Spirit except her. But she was convinced that she didn't need to speak in tongues. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know. And so there's a lot of people that don't realize it's two experiences, the same Spirit, but two experiences. All right. She was right, she did have the Holy Spirit, but she was wrong that she didn't need to be filled with the Spirit speaking. You know, that was her choice. Yeah. All right, Ephesians 5. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one thing about praying in the Spirit, it says it gives thanks well. See, it's like the Lord gave us this, and it just took the, well, how should I pray this, or when should I pray this, or do this? When you do it in the Spirit, it gets taken care of. This is not a natural rote prayer thing that we do. Lay on, lay me down the street, you know, like that kind of stuff. But it's a spiritual thing. We first sent inkling of what would come in this new dispensation. This is Mark chapter 16. Jesus said this. I need to mark back my page here. Verse 15 said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. They drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. All right. If you're a believer, the signs speaking in tongues should follow you. Period. Paul said to be filled with the Spirit speaking. We just read that in Ephesians 5. Now you know what's so controversial. Satan cannot interpret, intercept what you are saying. You have a direct communication between you and God, and there is not a thing in the world that he could do about it. So he tells people, oh, that's of the devil. One of his biggest cons. What good is a well without a way to get the water out? God comes or are accessible to you when you pray in tongues, just like the Q comms. They are a mystery and they have to be decoded. This is the way that speaking in tongues is. It is a mystery. We read that a while ago, but we'll look at it again. This is 1 Corinthians 14:2. Sometimes he'll give us an inkling of what we're praying. Sometimes we don't know at all. A lot of times I know who I'm praying for, but I don't always know what I'm praying for them. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Mysteries. Here's what mysteries means. A secret. There's one scripture that reassures the recipient that he will receive the Holy Spirit if he asks for it and not a demon. Now, you might have somebody come across your path and you'll be able to use this information to help them receive the Holy Spirit. This is Luke chapter 11. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Some people, you just can't seem to get it across to them that there's two experiences that need to happen here. No, I've got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you do. But you know what? To me, it's like you get the Holy Spirit, the living water, but you don't have the pump yet. And it's just laying down in there. You need the pump installed. In other words, the tongues. That's what causes out of your belly to flow rivers of living water. Something to draw the water out with. Like Jesus, the woman at the well, he used the scenario. I'll give you the water, not this water, but the living water. In fact, let's just look at that. This is, I think, John. Is it John 4? Okay. All right, verse 10. Well, let's start with 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a water? She had come to the well to draw water. Which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. See, she's just dealing with the natural here, but he's dealing with the spiritual. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So anyway, we won't go any further than that, but I wanted you to see that. All right. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 8. Drink here. All right, we're going to start with verse 12. But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them unto them Peter and John, who when they came down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they were born again and baptized. But they didn't have the Holy Spirit as of yet. Then laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands of the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power, that whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thou money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." So he didn't understand what he was seeing, but this was a supernatural experience. And then they didn't treat it like it was separate, even though it was. It was separate, but it wasn't separate. It's all part of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. All right? So what is the purpose of being filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? We're going to look at a few scriptures. Luke 24. Verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Yep, let's keep going. Acts 2. He wasn't expecting you to go out there and beat on doors and have doors slammed in your face. No. He wanted to impart power for this to happen. It's a supernatural thing. All right, 2:1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." You know, it makes me wonder when people argue with you about this, why, you know, if the disciples, those in the upper room, they all spoke in tongues. I mean, what, can you even argue with that? Yeah. Power. What's the reason for this? Power. I don't know how I would even, I probably wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Because he's the one that's led us into all truth. I mean, he can do that without it, I guess, but I sure would hate to have to try without it. You know, it'd be very difficult. So, all right, now go over to chapter 8. I think we were just there, but we'll go there again. We'll just read the rest of it. I haven't read. Right here, verse 1. "Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution." I'm talking about Stephen, when they stoned Stephen, "against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hating men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached the Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city." Power! Isn't for us to just have some, you know, way of communication with the Lord? Yes, it is. But there's also another part to that, power. Jesus wanted us to have the power. What does the power do? It takes out the devil and what he's done. That's what Jesus came for. This is the reason the Son of God was manifest, that he might overcome the evil one. Yeah, that's why we have the power, to overcome the evil one. All right, Acts 9. and Paul, or Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slander against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Yeah. I mean, he immediately became a preacher. So much so, they had to get him out of town, because the leaders were going to kill him. All right, now, let's go on to chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. See, all these visions and things, this is as a result of the Holy Spirit. This is those endowments. I mean, there was prophets that had visions and things in the Old Covenant. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "You know how that is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore what intent ye have sent me." And Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the 9th hour I prayed in my house, and behold a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God.' Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with God. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.'" Did you see that? Holy Ghost and with power. Yeah. "And we are witnesses of these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, now to all the people, but to every witness chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, to give him all the prophets witness that through this name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." So it can happen simultaneously. "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, 'Can any forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?' And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." Now you see why he sent Peter. He was the apostle to the Jews. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Do you see the coming together of the two? Yeah. God didn't want, because Peter had a little problem with that. We know that Paul jumped on him pretty good about having, eating with the Jews again instead of having his regular shrimp cocktail or ham sandwich for lunch. You know what I'm saying? Lord knows. Supernatural power opened up the way for the new church to begin. The Gentile church. The inclusive church. The one that didn't reject anybody. This is why it's called Acts, the supernatural acts of the Holy Spirit through believers in Jesus. Yeah. I always really liked the second chapter of Acts. I always liked that group. I think we're the second chapter of Acts. We are. We're doing the Acts too. All right, now go to Acts 19. These are acts of power. It's like the Lord gave it to me this way. I saw this big old huge toolbox full of power tools. There's the Holy Spirit. There's what's been given to the normal believer. A whole box of power tools. Try building something from scratch by hand as opposed to doing it with power tools. Yeah. All right, Acts 19. Get another drink here. All right. And it came to pass, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. I mean, we got born again, but we know about this. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. No excuses, people! All right. The gift of the Holy Ghost just opened up a whole lot of power tools for the individual and for the church through this experience. All right. One of those power tools is witnessing. Acts 1. Jesus told the disciples before he left, he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Yep. Another tool is that your spirit prays. We saw that a while ago. That's 1 Corinthians 14:14. It's your spirit praying when you pray in tongues. Not your just natural man and your natural thinking and trying to drum up what I need to pray now. The Holy Ghost does it for you. All right, the natural man can just run out of things to say pretty quickly. And after a few hallelujahs, I'm pretty worn out with that too. I'm sorry. It's just a dead work. It's got to be inspired. Okay, another tool. The Holy Spirit in your spirit prays the perfect will of God. This is Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. See, he sees how inadequate we are, just like natural men. It helps us. He helps us. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us, which groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we have this assurance. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That isn't just something we pull out and claim. It's talking about praying in the Spirit. It's talking about Holy Ghost taking hold together with your spirit and praying the perfect will of God. Then you know all things are going to work together for good, because this is God's perfect will. Right here. Because I hear that used out of context so much. I want to go, no, you forgot the best part. Sounds good, but you need the rest of it, the whole thing. All right. This leads us to the prayer call. We do not know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit does, and he will show us how. Receiving power to witness, to get answers for yourself and others, and pray in God's plans. Another power tool is refreshing. I can remember times of being so weary I couldn't put my foot in front of the other, but praying in the Spirit totally refreshed me. This is Acts 3:19. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Refreshing here means recovery of breath or revival. Praying in the Spirit causes us to rest and to allow the Holy Spirit to take hold together with us to pray God's will. It really takes all the struggle out of it. I mean, I do lots of things praying in the Spirit. If you notice, it bypasses the understanding. So you can watch TV, you can do something else, and you can pray in the Spirit. All right. Paul said that he spoke in tongues more than all of them. Speaking in tongues is the doorway into the supernatural. Okay, well, we're not going to start with the gifts of the Spirit today. We're going to end there. We'll have more next week. All right.